All right, 2 Corinthians and chapter number 12 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're going to get it all in. We're just doing it in a different order. So, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and we are continuing our study here in the book of 2 Corinthians, and yeah, we're getting close to the end. Won't be too much longer, but we're in 2 Corinthians 12 looking at the Apostle Paul talking about his thorn in the flesh. And we're talking about the ministry that suffering ministers to us. I mean, that sounds strange, preacher. Yeah, I know it sounds strange, but we're going to see it here in the Scripture, that how that it has a purpose. It had a purpose in the Apostle Paul's life. Had a purpose in Job's life. And it has a purpose in our lives. And I remember the foundational statement that I made last week, how that every believer in Christ needs to learn that human weakness and divine grace go hand in hand together. Well, that's what we're going to see here. Understand that the Lord is always at work in our lives, developing our trust in Him. He wants us to fully rely on Him. He wants us to have our dependence upon His strength rather than on our own strength. So much easier for us to access our resources rather than just take it to the Lord. But, you know, sometimes to bring us to the place where we draw closer in our dependence on Him, the Lord sends a thorn or some sort of suffering in some form to actually minister to us. We think, like I said, we might think it's a strange minister. Nevertheless, the ministry of suffering has helped countless numbers of people through the years. And our suffering can take different shapes and sizes. And it's designed, though, probably not apparent to any of us immediately. It's really there. It's designed by God for us. I point back to the series that I preached on how not to waste your trials, and how that God takes and forms our trials for us to knock off our rough places in our lives. And it's effectively designed by God for us to bring us into a more intimate knowledge of Christ and His sufficiency. And that's the goal. Now, to help us understand this, I want us to take a look, closer look at Paul's thorn in the flesh, as he called it, and consider why it came to him and who delivered it and what it accomplished. And so, remember last week we took a look at the first six verses. We were talking about Paul speaking of the visions and revelations. Remember, we said he saw some things that nobody else saw. Some things were revealed to him about the future nobody else got revealed to. And in fact, he saw those things. We looked at why they were given to Paul. And we saw how that we're not to depend upon receiving similar visions or revelations. That's not for us today. We have the completed Word of God. But Paul was, his work was foundational. He didn't have the completed canon of Scripture. And he had been set apart by the Lord as an apostle and used to deliver to us much of the New Testament Scripture. And so we were looking at the effect that these visions and revelations might have had on Paul. Initially, they were overwhelming. You know, you saw all this stuff, but we talked about there's no doubt that he was sustained and strengthened by them. I mean, you think about, he saw heaven. He saw where he was going to go. He was called up third heaven. He saw things that nobody else has seen here on the earth. And because Paul saw and understood what others didn't know or understand, he found himself slipping into a prideful spirit. Well, God sent him a little messenger, okay? Sent him a messenger to help him with his humility a little bit. And we see tonight, I want us to look at how our thorns, or rather our suffering, minister to us. So let's take a look, first of all, at verse 7, 8, and 9. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure. And he's talking about those revelations that he saw. You know, those things just, you know, he had the big head. That's what he's talking about here. Lest I should have the big head, you know, through the abundance of the revelations that were given me there. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing, I besought the Lord. Now, initially, he didn't know that's what it was given to him. And he says, for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, the Lord said to Paul here, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's reaction to that was this: most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So the things that Paul did, he wasn't doing them out of physical strength. He was doing them out of the strength of the Lord. It was very obvious. So it was the Lord that was working through him. And this thorn in the flesh had that effect in his life that people could look and see that he was hobbling. We don't know what it was, but it had him, quote unquote, hobbled from being the best that he could be. And we see here, I want you to think of it this way. Our privileges that we have from the Lord may lead to pride in our lives, because we're still in simple flesh, right? We are. I mean, sometimes we react the wrong way. We see things, as a result, God may have to render us weak in some other respect to keep our head from swelling or to keep us dependent upon Him. Let's look, first of all, at the nature of the thorn. He talks about a thorn in the flesh. And that term thorn is variously translated as a stake, or it might be used for impaling or torturing someone, or it could also be used for a splinter. How many of you ever had a splinter in your finger? You know, it's not comfortable, is it? And I mean, you want it out. But obviously, the thorn in the flesh is a metaphor of suffering some point of great pain or weakness or shame or humiliation. We don't know exactly what it was that held Paul back. Held back his tendency to boast about himself or to be swelled with pride. And remember, the fact is that we don't know what Paul's thorn was. It's all kind of speculation. Most people that I've heard talked about how he had poor eyesight. And there's different things in the Scripture to talk about, you know, his eyes, he had trouble with his eyes. I don't know whether that was a thorn or not. But there's been a lot of speculation, but nobody can say without a doubt this is what Paul's thorn was. But I think there's a reason behind that. Maybe the reason that we don't know precisely what constituted Paul's thorn is to keep anybody who has a similar problem from saying, well, I'm just like Paul. Yeah, I'm going through the same thing. I know what Paul went through. Okay? Have the opposite effect of what it should have had. They fall prey to pride in their experience of weakness. Now, we know that thorns or sufferings can come in any number of types, styles, and sizes for Christians in every age. Not all of us suffer the same way, do we? Some of us may suffer in similar ways, but we all have our each independent things that are going on in our life. This week it's been my knees, both knees. I've had trouble climbing up the steps into my office, had to pull myself into the office with my arms up the steps. Same thing at the house. Had trouble climbing a ladder this morning, trying to get stuff done over there on the roof temporarily, just kind of a temporary seeing what was going on. Some of you have some knee issues, but they may be different than the knee issues that I'm having. I don't know what you're having, but we all know that we all suffer differently, don't we? And some of us suffer in some of the same ways, but we suffer differently. But so not knowing Paul's thorn really helps every Christian to identify with Paul's weakness, and more importantly, with the strength that comes through grace alone. Paul had a thorn. Didn't matter what the thorn was. God gave him grace for it. Listen, you got a thorn. It might be different than my thorn. It might be different than the thorn of the person beside you or the person across from you. But listen, you have the same grace. You and I have the same grace that the Apostle Paul has available to us if we lean upon the grace. Now, we see the purpose of the thorn or suffering. Whatever the thorn, it was enough to bring Paul low. It humbled him. It was enough to remind him of the inherent weaknesses in the flesh and to keep his look toward the Lord of glory and grace. And that's really where our look needs to be at. We need to be focused on the Lord, don't we? And focused on His grace, focused on His glory, and allow His glory and His grace to be shining through our lives. Now, it says that there that Paul prayed three times. Look at verse 8 again. For this thing, that thorn that he's talking about, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Now, he prayed three times, evidently in great agony, for the Lord to, and please, Lord, just take this thing away from me so I can minister more effectively. Now, that tells us that it was not something that he would have chosen for himself. A lot of times, the things that we deal with is not things that we would choose, right? And it was something that he desired to be rid of, and the sooner the better. Thorns are painful. I can remember numerous times in my life, especially as a boy, and where we lived at, there was all kinds of thorns you could get into. And there were the boards that we were dealing with on the farm that we lived on, you could get a splinter in your finger. And that thing would pus up, and really you couldn't, when it would pus up, it really throbbed. But Mom, we go running to Mom when we get a thorn. A lot of times she wouldn't take it out immediately because once it pusses up, it's easier to get out with a needle. And she'd take that needle and she'd get that thing out. And boy, that felt better, didn't it? It just did. You were wanting it out. And when you got something like that, you just want to get it out. In the same way, a thorn in the flesh is an uncomfortable something that we will instinctively ask the Lord to remove. Lord, this is uncomfortable. I'm not enjoying this. Lord, could you help me here? And we make our case before the Lord of why we would be much better off without the thorn, don't we? Yeah. And we think of a bunch of reasons that this thorn is impractical. It's a hindrance to my service for Christ. Is it wrong for us to think and pray for the Lord to take away the thorn? No. Paul wasn't out of God's will and asking for the thorn to be removed. But his attitude was right. It's not wrong for us to think and pray in such a fashion, not as long as our attitude is one of resting and depending on doing the will of God when all is said and done. Are you going to do God's will regardless? Or is this thing going to hold you back? You're going to let it hold you back. And so, our Lord, remember, Jesus prayed for that cup of suffering that He endured for us. Remember, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed that cup of suffering that He was about to face for to pass from Him, but He also prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And, we ought to, it's okay for us to pray, Lord, please take this away, but if it's your will, if it's not your will to take it away, Lord, just give me the grace to deal with it. And that's where Paul found himself. When the Lord's not pleased to remove the thorn, then we must submit to His purposes and glory in His good pleasure on our behalf. Now, in Paul's case, the thorn came as he called it a messenger of Satan to buffet me or torment him. And listen, what we learn from the apostle is this, is even when the devil's design is to hurt the Christian, and that's his design, he wants to take the same thing that the Lord wants to build you up with, and he wants to tear you down with it. Remember Job? Remember Satan went and said, well, he's just a paid lover. I mean, pretty much that's paraphrasing. But in chapter 1, chapter 2, he accused Job of being a paid lover. The reason why he serves you is because you're so good to him, Lord. You know, look at what all you've given to him. You give him a family, you give him the riches, and he's got all that. You take that away from him, he'll curse you to your face. That was the premise of what Satan was coming to do. Now, why did the Lord allow Job to go through that? Well, it was for God's glory. And we may not fully understand that. But our lives are to glorify God. And God got glory out of Job's life. And God got glory out of Paul's life. And even when the devil's design is to hurt the Christian, it's overridden by God's providential purposes in our lives. God had His purposes in Job's life, in Paul's life, and He has His purposes in your life for whatever you're going through. So, like Job of old, the devil may have his intent to destroy, but God has His greater purpose to reveal His glory in us and through us. Don't forget that. Now, verse number 9, that we see the teaching of suffering. Verse number 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, we see that there's a lesson, the lesson in the sufficiency of His grace. Is God's grace sufficient? It is. Sometimes we may think it's not, but it is. Paul was in danger of pride. He was in danger of self-exaltation. And God took some steps to humble him a little bit. And that fit God's purpose. May not fit Paul's purpose, but it fit God's purpose. Okay? And again, what are we to do? We're to glorify God. And to God, our humility is more important than our comfort. Our humility is more important than freedom from pain. And that's contrary to what the society that we live in. Everything around us focuses on comfort, security, ease. But God's purposes extend beyond this age, doesn't it? It just does. And His purposes extend to our eternity that is to come. And as His glory is revealed in us, we have glory for the future, don't we? Yeah, we do. Of all our needs that we sense, there's absolutely nothing, you need to get this, absolutely nothing that surpasses our need of Him and His grace. We need God and we need His grace more than we need the thorn gone. We need the Lord Himself, and we need His grace. And with the grace God gives, there is power. There's power to live for Christ. There's power to serve. There's power to worship, power to witness, power to resist temptation, power to remain faithful, power to exercise contentment, whatever our circumstances. We can be contented. Yeah. Paul said, whatever state I find myself, therewith I'm content. We need to be content with our circumstances. So there's the lesson in the sufficiency of His grace. Secondly, there's the lesson of His abiding power. God's design is to make us a showcase for Jesus' power. In the midst of our weaknesses, when we have nothing to personally boast of, that's when Christ's power invigorates us and enables us. Remember John the Baptist declared in John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. You know, and the more we know the Lord, the longer we know the Lord, that ought to be in our lives too. He increases and we decrease. It's less of Jerry, it's more of Jesus. And it's less of you, it's more of Jesus in your life. And that is Paul's same message, that the thorn brings us low so that we no longer look to our abilities and strength, but rather we look wholly to Christ. Now, we see another lesson in verse number 10. There's the lesson of contentment with weakness. The lesson of contentment with weakness. Look at verse 10. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches. and necessities and persecutions. See, all these things can be a thorn, right? Is infirmity a thorn? Yeah. Is somebody reproaching you? Is that a thorn? Yeah. How about if you're having to do without something? Yeah, pretty much thorn. Persecution? Thorn. Distresses? Yeah. But if you're doing it for Christ's sake, that means on behalf of or in regards to Christ. If it's on His behalf, He said He took pleasure in those things. He said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So that's an oxymoron, isn't it? When I am weak, then I'm strong. When he's weak in the flesh, he's strong in the Lord. That's what he's talking about. The Lord can manifest his power through us greater when we are at our weakest, if we allow him to do that. Verse 10, Paul's not showing a martyr's complex here. Instead, when for Christ's sake, when weaknesses come our way, and God is not pleased to remove them, and we need to recognize them as instruments for opening the way to know Christ's strength. Our weakness is exchanged for His strength, and that's God's divine plan for us. And that's what we wanted to cover tonight. Amen. I know it's a little bit short, but I've had one of them days. Okay, one of them days having to deal with other things. But we'll take some time to pray here. Let's take our prayer lists out. We're going to take a look at the prayer needs that people have. Read a few missionary letters. And then we'll pray and be dismissed. Amen.